It is NMRA National Convention Week. We're not going to be at the convention, but we're going to be at the train show. And we'll tell you all about last year's train show and the trip that we took right after this. It is another week, and therefore another episode of Dubker Depot, the official podcast of Dubker Media. My name is Kirk Orndorff. I'm the owner and founder of Dubker Media. We're a company that, you know, fairly new. We mostly do rail videos, but we also have some calendars and a good web presence and some stuff that's coming on down the road. Stuff that we're working on, you know. But we got ourselves a Facebook page. We've got a fan group for this show. So be sure to head over there and join that one. Facebook is playing with me though on notifications. So if you wait a little bit, sorry, I blame Facebook. We have an Instagram page. Be sure to go follow that. And then our YouTube channel, we're approaching the magic thousand number on the subscribers. So be sure to head over there, give us a subscribe there. And we actually have memberships as well. You can purchase a cinematography membership for just a few dollars a month. And that allows you to watch some of our full length programs, just right there on the YouTube platform. You know, you don't need a DVD player, a Blu-ray player. You don't need to buy the disc. You know, it's actually a very nice bargain. So, the goal is ultimately to have all of our programs on there. And, you know, even some, if not all, that have no narration. So it's definitely something worth checking out, something worth looking into. I highly recommend it because I stand by the quality of my work. But anyway, you're not here for me to tell you to buy something. You're here to just listen to me talk about trains. And it's the week of the NMRA National Convention, the National Train Show as well. We'll be selling at the National Train Show in Chattanooga. So if you're watching this before it happens or listening, as the case may be sure to come over and say hi, and check out what we have to offer. If you're watching or listening to this after the fact, well, we hope you enjoyed it. but it should be a really good show. Chattanooga is a very nice community. I actually really like it there. The Tennessee Valley Railroad Museum is a real nice attraction for the area. The Southern steam locomotives are awesome. We do have a program, a full-length two-hour program on the steam to Somerville special that the Tennessee Valley Railroad Museum runs. We have 4501 by itself. We have 4501 and 630 double heading. It's definitely one worth checking out. And right now it's not on the YouTube channel, but as of me recording this, but down the road, it certainly will get to that point as we get here. But anyway, last year, the NMRA National Convention was in Novi, Michigan, a suburb of Detroit, and we went and sold at that show as well. And it was actually the first time that we have been to the national show. And, you know, we didn't really know what to expect. We knew it was a big show. We know the manufacturers are there. We know it's a full-blown convention with 10, 12,000 participants in the convention, and local layouts show up, and it wound up being a really good show with a lot of people met. We happened to be next to a Z-Scale group, the people who actually make Z-Scale, and had some, you know, just kind of local vendors to our right and behind us and stuff, and a lot of good deals to be had. You know, we were able to purchase a few N-Scale items while we were there. I model N-Scale, in case, you know, I've never mentioned it before on the show. But when I used this opportunity to have like the 3 week trip roughly. The goal was ultimately to not only sell at the show, kind of start getting the name out there nationally. You know, it was our first time out east, doing a show out east, and we wanted to get the name out, but we also wanted to make it a little bit more worth the while. And by doing that, I came up with the plan to film not one, not two, not three, but four future DVDs on this trip, with the potential to get footage from as many as seven. And now the seven didn't happen, wound up cutting it short. But we did get enough footage for three DVDs, one of which is finished now. We'll get into this here as we move on. But it was a full 3 week trip. I left roughly, I think it was the Tuesday of the actual convention itself. Took off east out of Colorado, made my way across Nebraska, made my way across Iowa, and kind of knocked it down in the middle of Illinois for the night, because my plan, something that I had been thinking of doing, is the Pentrex sunrise to sunset videos. Well, we would like to try those as well. And so the very first one I went out to film was a day at Rochelle. And I got trackside about 20, 25 minutes roughly before sunrise that day. Realized I had left my laptops in the hotel room and I was not staying there another night, so I had to rush back and get those. Didn't cost me anything, but it was embarrassing, and it could have been really bad if I hadn't realized it at the time. And so we just spent the entire day at Rochelle, the railfan park there. Saw, I think it was about 25 to 30 trains. The video itself is going to be roughly 85 to 90 minutes. So it's going to be kind of right at our border, if you will, of the price change. Probably will be under, because I usually do wind up cutting stuff out of it, which shortens it by a few minutes. And but it wound up being a fairly fun day. And the rain, we got a big old rainstorm in the middle of that trip, and right in the middle of the day, and downed trees on the UP, and one of the workers almost got hit by a train because, well, they decided to go cut trees in the middle of the gauge, and fortunately it was the local that came up on them and was able to stop. And it could have been really ugly, it could have been really bad, but it wound up being kind of a fun day. Wound up leaving the railfan park about 30 minutes after sunset. And so it was literally an entire day at the park. Then the next day, I didn't quite know what I wanted to do. I had heard about a concert that was maybe hour and a half or so south of Chicago, and I was going to be kind of in the area, and it was going to allow me that Friday to make the drive up to Michigan. And so I figure, okay, well, maybe I'll look into the Kankakee, Beaverton, and Southern. Maybe I'll look into the Bloomer line. We'll figure something out to try to get down there, something I can do to spend the first part of the day. And so I decided the KBS, because they interchange with the Canadian National right there in Kankakee. If I'm saying it wrong, let me know in the comments. I got to Kankakee right at the same time as a southbound on the CN. Had two SD70M-2s on it. Was able to chase them for a little ways. The KBS looked like it hadn't been used in a long time. There were weeds all over the place. The rails were rusty. It was really unfortunate. And you know, both the KBS and the Bloomer line, those are both railroads that you kind of got to get a little bit lucky if you're going to railfan them. And I figured, I've got a train on the CN, I'll just chase it. Chased it for a little ways, and then southbound Amtrak was not too terribly far behind it. I knew there was a northbound Amtrak coming as well, so I was able to get a couple of those. Just kind of followed the tracks down to Champaign, and happened to run into a couple. I don't know if they're locals, I don't know if they're through freights, I don't know the story on them, but not one, but two trains that had the Standard Cab Illinois Central SD70s on them. The first one that I chased, it was a red, and it was a CN painted one leading a black. And then the second one was an IC black in the Death Star scheme, leading one that was painted CN. So it wound up being kind of a nice little cool find there. I then turned around, headed back down towards Champaign. I got south of Champaign, ran into another northbound. This one was for sure a through freight because it had a couple modern GEs on it. And then I went to the concert that night. It was Megan Woods, for anybody who knows who that is. She only had a couple songs out at the time, but was working on a few, and it wound up being a really nice show. It was about an hour and a half long. There was a theme here for this trip, rain. It rained right beforehand, and so that actually got delayed a little bit, which kind of helped me out because I was able to actually catch another local with an IC ST-70 Death Star, and then go to the concert from there. And she can actually really sing. Holy cow! It was actually a very pleasant concert. She did a really good job. A few covers in there as well as some unreleased songs that have since been released. But anyway, that left us about six, seven hours from Novi. Friday was basically a day to drive up there. Although on the Genesee in Wyoming there, I can't remember the name off the top of my head. I apologize. They were running a CSX grain train. Was able to catch that. That was actually kind of cool. I wasn't expecting it in the least. And then made the drive up there. I saw this. There's a kind of a restaurant thing near Monon, Indiana. Monon, Indiana is where the Monon Railroad was founded. And sure enough, this restaurant has all sorts of Monon-inspired artifacts sitting outside. You know, they've got cranes, boxcars, signals and crossing signal gates, and it was really cool to drive by. In fact, I actually turned around, drove by it a second time so that I could get the video of it, and you know, just kind of took pictures while I was shooting the video, and it really worked out. And got into Novi and set up and got to the hotel and everything, and then we had 2 days of show. It didn't go how I had hoped it would. I was in a bit of an unfortunate location, mainly because I had a big black curtain on my left. The person behind me had stacks of stuff, so it was higher. And I was told multiple times on Saturday that they didn't even know that I was in an aisleway. The aisleway to my right had a big concrete barrier in it, probably 5 feet by 5 feet. And so that's why people were telling me, I didn't even realize you were in an aisle. I didn't realize this was a place I could walk. And so that was a little unfortunate, but, still did pretty well. I would say I did pretty well. And again, it's partly about getting the name out there. And I do have a screenshot that I had to take on my laptop because, you know, I had to pay for internet and I wasn't going to do that. So I took a screenshot on my laptop to display the YouTube channel. And so I forever have the number of YouTube subscribers that I had at that point. As I'm recording this, I have almost doubled it in the 1 year since that show, as I did in the 4 years prior, 3 years prior. So that it really shows how I've grown here recently. But we're getting there. And Sunday was decent. You know, got a little bit of time to walk around, make a couple purchases, and from people I know. You know, you start doing these shows, you start meeting people, you start realizing who have the good deals, who are the friendly people, who doesn't want you bothering them for some reason. There are people like that, trust me. But then also, you know, that it allowed for just meeting people. And there's something to be said about just meeting people. And, you know, you show somebody the YouTube channel, they hop on their phone and immediately hit subscribe. That's, to me, that is almost as good as a sale. Is just getting the word out, getting a subscriber, because you know, the YouTube, once you get to that 1,000 subscriber number, you know, the algorithm changes a little bit. It kind of starts displaying more stuff, and then you also have the monetization aspect of things, and so that's also something to be looking into as I move forward. But then after the show ended, I had made the decision prior that I wanted to make the 5-hour drive east from Novi to Johnstown, Pennsylvania. I wanted to rail fan the line in between Altoona and Johnstown with the famous Horseshoe Curve. That's always kind of been on a bucket list item for me. You know, unfortunately, a few years late for the old Penske CPL signals. But, you know, it was still a great trip. You know, I saw numerous heritage units, lots of just NS trains. And I actually happened to be rail fanning that line when the UP Norfolk Southern rumors started happening. And you know, I didn't buy it. You know, a lot of people out there were kind of excited about it because they don't get to see Union Pacific a whole lot. And I was trying to warn them, you don't necessarily want to be seeing Union Pacific right now, because everything will change. And you know, that's just kind of merger stuff. We'll get into that in a future episode. But it was a fun trip. You know, we were able to get into the Horseshoe Curve on Wednesday, had a pretty decent full day there. Actually happened to be there while they were cutting the weeds in between the fence and the tracks. So the webcam, actually, the virtual railfan webcam, was not pointed towards us. And it was pointed out towards the valley, and it was locked because the museum had asked for that. So the video that I posted on YouTube is kind of the only way to see what happened at the curve that day. That's been a popular one since we uploaded it. And so head over to the YouTube channel, check that out. But, you know, we were able to get everything from the Amtrak platform at Altoona all the way to the Amtrak platform at Johnstown, almost the platform at Johnstown. And, you know, that's a good 2-hour video. It's already completed. So you can go find that one on our website, DVD and Blu-ray format. Also, we have them all at the shows. You know, we do sell all these videos at shows, and it's something to look for. And again, I crossed off a bucket list item, and we got to go see the Altoona works, and was able to actually catch a couple movements of stuff on the turntable. That's a future YouTube project down the road. I've got a backlog right now, though, as should be expected, especially with trying to prioritize the podcast here. That it just happens. But anyway, the next thing I wanted to do on this trip was I wanted to drive the 45 minutes south from Johnstown to Myersdale, Pennsylvania, which is right near the summit of Sand Patch Grade. And Sand Patch Grade is something I've kind of known about since I was about 11, 12 years old, living out west. And I kind of gained a real appreciation for it during the Microsoft Train Simulator. Maple Leaf Tracks, I believe, is who did that route. They did it during the Chessie. But it, you know, big famous line. The Baltimore and Ohio built it. The CNO came in later, and CSX is the one who got it then, you know, with the acquisition and the merger and all that stuff of Western Maryland and CNO, BNO, and Seaboard, and all that big merger that happened. CSX is the one who then gained control of the line. It's a very famous pass. The traffic, though, is down from where it has been in the past. Part of that is PSR. Part of that is, you know, just traffic dying off. Coal traffic has died off. They've got the other line that goes south out of there. I can't remember if it's the Keystone Sub or the Mountain Sub. It goes south out of Cumberland a little bit, down into West Virginia. And so CSX has routed some of their trains that way. But, you know, I kind of used the few days here. It was going to be 5 or 6 days, and I ultimately decided to cut it short. We'll get into that here in a little bit. Also, the NS, I spent 6 full days on the NS. It was going to be 7, but I got all I needed by the time the 6th day rolled around. So the Sunday, I went to the minor league baseball game in Altoona. That was fun. The Altoona Curve won that game 6-0, I believe. It was either that or Chesapeake Bay scored one run. But either way, Altoona won that game. And then I headed from there towards Johnstown and hopped on the highway. Well, I actually stayed that night in Johnstown, but then I hopped on the highway and headed south. And the goal was to spend, you know, 5 or 6 days on Sand Patch as well. And the first day was just kind of to be used to drive around and see, you know, what the roads look like on the pass, what the chasing is like, what the speeds they run, and wound up becoming really, I don't want to say disappointed, because that's not the right word, but It did not go how well I expected it would. It did not go as well as the NS had gone. And part of that is just because they're simply running a third of the trains that NS is. You know, you go from the NS running 55 trains in a 24-hour period to the CSX running, 18, you know, 17, 18, 19 trains in a 24-hour period. So part of that is just simply traffic levels. And the other one was, you know, on the NS, you have webcams on either side. You've got one in Johnstown. You got one at the Horseshoe Curve. Whereas on the CSX, you've got one in Cumberland. But one, your cell service isn't really good enough to be watching it. And two, the rail cam that's at the Mance post office, it was down at the time. So that took up a large portion of my heads ups if I was on the actual pass itself. And then also the webcam in Cumberland, it's before the rail split. So you see a train go past the Cumberland webcam, it might not be going over the pass. It might be going south towards West Virginia. So that was something that I wasn't really expecting. And then also because of the Mance camera being down at the time, they've been renovating the post office and it looks great. It was just unfortunate timing for me. But some eastbounds would sneak by me and I would watch them go by through the trees. And I'm not saying that, you know, their F-40 looking passenger train went by that I watched going through the trees, but it totally did. And I was not happy about that. Kind of spoiled that day for me. But then, you know, we were able to make it all the way towards Connellsville. And that's kind of the section that I want to cover is starting in Cumberland, ending in Connellsville, Pennsylvania, and just follow the pass. You know, I'd like to spend a lot of time on the pass. I've made two trips now to the area for a combined, I think it's 6 days, maybe 5 days on the pass. I'm starting to do a lot better. The second trip that I made was after the Amherst show. And so I kind of gaining perspective on the pass. I'm knowing what I need to get the next time I'm there. And so the next time I think it will be 4 or 5 days that I'm able to spend there. But for this one, I got frustrated a little too easily. And then also was starting to get chats in a group chat for my baseball team where, you know, we had a doubleheader that Sunday, might not have enough players. And so I ultimately made the decision to cut that short. But then what I did was I ended that on Wednesday after only 3 days and spent the next 2 days on the Wheeling and Lake Erie. And the reason why I had done that, decided to do that, was the Wheeling interchanges with the CSX at Connellsville, which is where I'm wanting to end the Sand Patch video. And so I thought maybe I could just make a nice smooth transition from rail fanning Sand Patch to rail fanning the Wheeling and Lake Erie. And so I had to do a lot of research on the Wheeling and Lake Erie. Fortunately, a friend of mine knows somebody. So he was able to get him kind of a nice rundown of the general operations and forwarded it on and was able to catch a couple trains the first day. One of them was only like 7 cars. And then the second day was able to do a lot more on the West End, kind of closer towards Bellevue. But fun fact, in two trips to the Wheeling, I've caught 3 trains between Bellevue and Heartland Yard, and none of them have had any cars. Yeah, that's fun. But anyway, it wound up being a couple days on the Wheeling and Lake Erie to get, kind of a perspective, you know, what speeds do they run? What is chasing like? What channels do they run? How frequently do they speak on the radios? You know, the Wheeling have put in a lot of defect detectors. So you can kind of hear if something's coming if you have a good antenna. And then also, you know, there's a couple sightings and you got the CSX running through there in some places. And I was able to catch the Ashland Railway in Willard, Ohio. Right there where the Wheeling comes in to interchange, the CSX has their yard, and then the Ashland comes in and interchanges. So that wound up being kind of a nice little surprise, kind of a nice little bonus, if you will. But then at that point, it was Friday. I was in Western Ohio and got two baseball games on Sunday that I've now committed to. So I made my way west a little bit, and then Saturday I was able to make a 19-hour drive from Findlay, Ohio, all the way to Colorado, and that kind of ended the trip. And it wound up being a really fun trip. I got, like I said, I got the Rochelle video. I got completely recorded, and it's in the editing process now. I got the NS Altoona to Johnstown video completely recorded. It's currently edited and is available for sale. Sand Patch, I got good footage from that. Don't get me wrong, I had a good time. I had a good 3 days on Sand Patch. It just wasn't what I had hoped it would be. And again, that's because I had really high expectations. It just didn't meet high expectations. That's on me. So, you know, Sand Patch, I did a good job there. Got kind of now know where I'm going. So for the next trip, it can work out real well. One thing I forgot to mention is I did spend one full day at the Cassandra Railfan Overlook on the NS in hopes of doing potentially a sunrise to sunset like video there. And that day it was a good morning. It was a really slow afternoon and it was a really good evening. We had a lot of rain. And so I don't know if that video will ultimately make its way into DVD or if I have to say, go to the Horseshoe Curve or something again. I don't know. I have to work on that one. But then I got footage also for the Wheeling and Lake Erie in addition to Sand Patch, and ultimately skipped the potential for Berea, Ohio, or something in Chicago. I skipped those on my drive back so that I could play in the two baseball games. And we won the first one, and go figure, we tied the second one. So whatever. But anyway, the clock is telling me it's officially time to wrap this thing up. So I want to thank you for joining us, for sticking with me this long. Be sure to subscribe to YouTube if you haven't. Become a member for some of those full-length programs at a bargain. It's really a bargain there at that price. Head over to Facebook. Give us a like and follow there. Head over to the fan group, the Dub Crew Depot fan group. And head over to Instagram, give us a follow there. But anyway, thanks again for joining us, and maybe we'll see you trackside.